Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. Hope you are all having a nice holiday season. And today we have a wonderful guest for you. I am very much looking forward to this, and I have been talking to him about coming on the show for quite some time. It's just taken us a while to put it together. Today we have Chaz Shorami, and Chaz is the president of his own firm, CC External Affairs, which we will hear about how he started. And he is also a senior advisor to IronLight. And he also has started something that is quite active on Facebook and LinkedIn, called the Rules of Networking. Is that right, Chaz?
Yes, sir, Jim.
Well, Chaz, first, let me say welcome to the show.
It's a great to be here. I'm a longtime listener, first time guest. So,
well, it's great to have you here. Chaz and I have crossed paths many times over the years at various conferences and in DC. And so, Chaz, let's before we hear about your company and your work with IronLight, I have seen on Facebook, particularly Facebook, the Rules of Networking, which I have joined. Why don't you tell us about the Rules of Networking for our audience? And for our audience that's listening, I would go on Facebook and your Facebook account and search Rules of Networking and ask to join. But why don't you tell us about it, Chaz?
Absolutely. So about 3 years ago with my co-founder, Patricia Rausch, who's a longtime friend of mine, we started Rules of Networking as a way to sort of share and disseminate the information we have learned and picked up over our careers on career advice and networking and how to and professional development. And the group's gone beyond our greatest expectations. We've surpassed 3,200 people on Facebook. The Facebook group is super active. We have some posts of those 3,200 members. When you get into the analytics, some posts 2,700 people engage with, which is pretty phenomenal. And folks ask career questions. One of our most popular features is people can email myself an anonymous question or a Ron-nonymous question, as we call it. For Ron is the abbreviation of Rules of Networking. And people ask questions from, you know, how should I format my resume? How do I connect with somebody? To some of the hardest issues in the workplace we have today. And there's a vibrant community that adds in words of support, encouragement, advice, and helps folks further on their career. And we've now been responsible for literally hundreds of jobs connecting folks with and even more and more career opportunities.
Yeah, it's I've been amazed at how quickly it's growing. And I love the ability to ask an anonymous question, because I'm sure there are people out there who want to get advice on something, but don't want to really attach their name to it because they don't want to feel stupid or look silly. So I thought that is a great feature. And it's also a great feature just because it's not a jobs board. It's a networking advice type of platform, which prior to starting this is something that you had been doing all along, giving speeches and advice and helping people with job searches.
Yeah, I've talked for years and years to folks and groups and done some training to help folks find, to network better, particularly in their early careers, to find that, to find success in their professional careers. And it's been... And one of the things I noticed in that process is people taking furious notes. People that have gone to Harvard and Yale and Stanford and taking furious notes about, oh, I should follow up and send a thank you note after a job interview. And very things that I thought were very basic that, you know, just don't get covered, frankly. And that type of advice, further on career advice, finding mentors mid and late in your career, are real things that, you know, we all struggle with. And having a place to go and look for that advice and a proactive, supportive community to do that is really key.
How did you fall into giving, you know, speeches and advice on how to find a job?
Mostly the mistakes I did, learning to find a job and navigate the political process in my career.
But how did you decide to start doing that in almost kind of a formal way?
So I got asked to speak at a former employer called the Leadership Institute originally, and they had me come in and talk to recent college grads about networking, about advice for their early careers. And I sort of just formalized that into a talk. And then I also started writing about those type of things on LinkedIn as well.
Well, if you take nothing else away from you and this show, writing a personal note, particularly in a day of email and tweets and texts, that will in and of itself go a long, long way. Well, I think the Rules of Networking is a great platform. I encourage everyone to check it out. And tell us about CC External Affairs and IronLight.
Yeah. So about eight and a half years ago, I started CC External Affairs when I left the American Legislative Exchange Council. And I wanted to take all the relationships I had built up over my career and help other folks utilize them to bring about change. And so the company focuses on mostly corporations and trade associations in the public policy process and helping them build allies, be it think tanks, advocacy groups, thought leaders, academics, to weigh in and on their issues. And we've done it for 8.5 years now. We've done it with major trade associations like the National Association of Broadcasters, big tech companies like Amazon Web Services, and a number of clients in between. So it's been a very rewarding, very exciting experience.
And most of the work is focused on Washington, D.C.?
Most of it's focused on Washington, D.C. As you know, most of my background's in the States. I'd love to do more state components of it, but the third-party advocacy is really, really focused on sort of helping move that insurmountable force that is doing nothing in Congress. And so most of the work tends to be focused in DC.
And what about your work with IronLight?
Yeah, so about 3 years ago, a couple of my friends called me up in Chicago, and they were starting a creative marketing firm that is engaged in advocacy. And I heard the original story and I was sold. So IronLight, even from the name, which is a reference to that point at 900 degrees where you can bend and meld iron in an iron furnace. IronLight tries to be that change for purpose-driven organizations, and be it nonprofits, be it trade associations, but also even we do some work in the consumer packaged goods arena as well, helping bring good products to market.
Now, you are originally from Maine. You're a Mainer, so you must be a diehard Red Sox fan.
Which I am.
Is a prerequisite to getting on this show. Your first political job, I think, was with Empower America. Is that correct?
So my first political job came when I was a freshman in college working on political campaigns in 1998. But my first political internship was at Empower America, where I interned for Bill Bennett and Jack Kemp, two just legends in public policy. And I had a great time. Bill Bennett stopped at my desk every day, asked me what I was doing. One day he showed me how to make coffee. It was a really fantastic experience.
That's great. And you also did some work for GOPAC.
And I interned at GOPAC as well. And it was just in the post-Newt era at GOPAC. David Dreyer was the chairman and had a had a lot of fun, and GoPack had just downsized. So I had both an office and a parking space as an intern, and I was very, very blessed.
That's pretty impressive. And you also did some work. You were the political director for the Maine Republican Party.
Yeah.
What was that like? Hand-to-hand combat?
It was an amazing era. It was a lot of hand-to-hand combat, but you know, I think I know you know the same in Connecticut, a really amazing place in politics where you actually do know literally all the players, and they all know me since I was 18, which can be good and bad, but it's it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of victories, a lot of camaraderie, worked on a lot of great campaigns, and helped a lot of great people get elected.
And were you surprised that Susan Collins was able to hang on in such a difficult year, or were you not surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised. I was surprised how reportedly close the race was. I never really felt it was that close. Senator Collins, from when I first met her when she was running for governor in 1994, is very much a average Mainer, grew up in Caribou, Maine in Northern Arista County, and has made a life of being a bipartisan representative of the Maine people. And I think Mainers tend to have an independent streak more than a liberal or conservative streak. And I think Susan Collins embodies and embraces that almost better than anyone.
And what was it like? You spent a few years working at the Maine State Capitol. What were you doing there? And
I worked in the Maine State Senate while I was still in college. It was a fantastic experience. I worked for a couple of committee chairs and Senate leadership. And working in the State House in Maine was one of those experiences that I had during college that, you know, it was almost like a second degree. I fondly remember I played trivia every Tuesday night at a bar near the Capitol called the Liberal Cup, and I played with the Senate Republican leader, the chief political reporter for the Bangor Daily News, and a guy named John Lisnick, who had been the Senate Democratic or the House Democratic leader at one point, and was the chief lobbyist for the University of Maine system. And I was getting this experience at 21, working in the State House, and it was really a hard experience to beat.
Now, was it part of your plan to end up in Washington, D.C., or was it more by accident?
So I had interned in D.C., and frankly, I had great daytime work experiences at my internships, but I never really got into D.C. culture and never planned to move back. But I got to be about 25 and I exhausted my opportunities in Maine and started looking elsewhere, and ended up in a typical Rules of Networking story. I interviewed for a job with a trade association in D.C., actually for a role they had in Texas. And the guy that I interviewed with, who's now the president of the Vinyl Institute, a guy named Ned Monroe. Ned said, "Chaz, I love you. I can't send a Mainer to go work with good old boy contractors in Texas." And I fully understood that. But he passed my resume on to a friend that he had couch surfed with 20 years before in his early days in politics for a campaign in Richmond. And I took the job in Richmond. I loved living in Richmond, didn't love the job, and started sending resumes everywhere else, and ended up at a group in DC called the Leadership Institute.
And what did you do at the Leadership Institute?
So I made my first dabble into the nonprofit world. I did major gifts fundraising in 27 states, got to start seeing the country. And the Leadership Institute does political training for right of center activists around the country. And it was just a great experience into the whole sort of DC public policy world that wasn't campaigns and wasn't the Hill. And it opened a lot of doors and taught me a lot of lessons. So
yeah, that must be doing the major gift fundraising. That must not be easy.
It's a little intimidating at first. fundraising is never easy. I've never found a way to do it that everybody's always looking for a silver bullet in fundraising. And I always find that you have to ask a lot of people for a lot of money. And if you do that, eventually it works. But there are no silver bullets. It's a little intimidating when you're asking people that your grandparents' age for checks at first. But when it's a cause you believe in, it's a cause they believe in, it's very rewarding for everybody involved.
And what'd you do when you left there?
So from there, I worked on a Social Security reform project for a year. And then when that wasn't happening, still hasn't happened, still not happening, I moved on to work for the American Legislative Exchange Council. When I worked at the American Legislative Exchange Council, I started out as a corporate giving officer and worked my way up eventually running membership and fundraising there, and then was promoted to running conferences as well, where I put on their 2,000 person annual meeting. And then from there, I took over their public affairs responsibilities and led them through a major, pretty existential crisis. Where I was able to learn crisis communication, trial by fire, but led them through that and helped the organization regain stable footing. That it subsequently, their new executive director, Lisa Nelson's, really helped take and move on to a whole new higher level.
And then what did you do when you, from leaving there, you started your own firm, CC External Affairs?
Yeah. So using that experience, guiding Alec through that and successfully holding on to the organization through and navigating it through what really was an existential crisis. And now it's in great hands with its new executive director, Lisa Nelson. I started CC External Affairs to bring that knowledge to my clients in that experience, dealing with those sort of high stakes, high pressure experiences where we really do need allies and friends to support your work.
And so in your work today, Chaz, can you, for our listeners who are not engaged, in that part of the business or maybe in Washington, D.C., kind of walk us through, like a typical, you know, issue or how it works? There's legislation on the Hill, a group, is supporting it or opposing it. And that group would engage you to help build grassroots support and reach out to members of Congress. Is that kind of the overview?
So it's often working in conjunction with their lobbying shops that are doing the actual reaching out to members of Congress. But I help identify them, third party allies, be it. So a great example would be tax reform, where groups like Americans for Tax Reform and the National Taxpayers Union, broad business coalition groups, NFIB, et cetera, started weighing in on those issues and help organize and align those folks to weigh in strategically on different parts of the legislation to help get it passed.
Okay. And how many issues could you be working at? Can you handle more than one at the same time?
Yeah. So a lot of my competitors really specialize in, you know, just the tech vertical or just the tax vertical. I have done everything under the sun, from working on airplane trade issues with major manufacturers, to taxes, to logistics, to postal reform, to tech and defense issues. So it's really all over the place. And I have Mary Ellen Beatty that works for me out of Florida. And Mary Ellen is our comms expert and helps sort of extend that capacity. But we do a lot of spaces and a lot of issue areas.
And as we are recording this, the most recent $900 billion, I guess what we call it, stimulus bill, just passed last night. And so now Congress will head home for the holidays. What does next year look like? I guess we'll have to first wait and see whether or not the Senate is in Republican or Democratic control. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that it's in Republican control. What does next year look like for you with the new administration and Congress as it is?
So a lot of the issues I work on for clients are not terribly political, though everything sort of becomes political these days. But a lot of them are not necessarily issues that people are voting on. So it's a lot of member education. It'll be a lot of new member education, education for the new chairs and ranking members to help them familiarize them with the outside experts that know about these issues, educating new staff to get up to speed on these issues, and finding out where the new administration, who's said they want to work across the aisle, where they really want to do those things and really want to innovate. So I think that's what it looks like.
And Chaz, you have you're a bit of an entrepreneur. What advice would you give to people thinking about going off and doing their consulting on their own?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest pieces of advice is really figure out and find your market. And when you first go out on your own, I've talked to a lot of people that have had the same experience. A lot of people, because they like you, because they're connected with you, because they want to help, will offer you up meetings to come pitch and talk about it. But there's a big difference between getting the opportunity to pitch and getting a contract signed. And in the first couple of years, I really stumbled around finding exactly who my market was. And had I gotten that advice up front to really sort of focus on who's going to sign a contract. And from my experience, the people most likely to sign a contract in third-party advocacy are folks already engaged in third-party advocacy, which sounds like a no-brainer. But for the first couple of years, I tried to encourage folks to get into it that weren't into it. And that's a much, much heavier lift. And so really focus on folks that are sort of ready to buy and have the budget space to buy, and really hone in on your market, and then always be hustling. I think that's the other part. If your business isn't going forward, it's going backwards. There's no neutral.
Well, great advice. Great advice. And I would encourage, remind everyone, go check out Rules of Networking. It's a great platform to hear about what's going on or to get advice. And as we mentioned, you can reach out to Chaz on that platform and have him ask a question that you're interested in and have the platform respond, which I think is a very, very creative and very interesting way to do it for people. And Chaz, it's been great having you on the show. And for our listeners out there, remember you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can sign up for our Monday morning email, which comes out, I was going to say Monday morning, but occasionally Monday afternoon, but it does come out Monday with the show. And there's information about our guests and some other things. And you can sign up for that at our website, politicallife.net. And so we hope you all have a great week. Stay safe during these pandemic days. And we will see you next Monday.